Lent Week 1, Saturday. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. Christ the Lord was tempted and suffered for us. Come, let us adore him. Come, ring out our joy to the Lord. Hail the God who saves us. Let us come before him giving thanks. With songs let us hail the Lord. A mighty God is the Lord, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his. To him belongs the sea, for he made it, and the dry land shaped by his hands. Come in, let us bow and bend low, let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massa in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. Then I took an oath in my anger, never shall they enter my rest. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Christ the Lord was tempted and suffered for us. Come, let us adore him. How great the tale that there should be in God's Son's heart a place for me, that on a sinner's lips like mine the cross of Jesus Christ should shine. Christ Jesus, bend me to thy will, my feet to urge, my griefs to still, that e'en my flesh and blood may be a temple sanctified to thee. No rest, no calm my soul may win, because my body craves to sin, till thou, dear Lord, thyself impart peace on my head, light in my heart. May consecration come from far, soft shining like the evening star, my toilsome path make plain to me, until I come to rest in thee. Amen. Whoever humbles himself like a little child will be greater in the kingdom of heaven. Psalm 130. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly I have set my soul in silence and peace. As a child has rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Whoever humbles himself like a little child will be greater in the kingdom of heaven. With an honest heart I have offered up all things joyfully, O my God. Psalm 131. O Lord, remember David and all the many hardships he endured, the oath he swore to the Lord, his vow to the Strong One of Jacob. I will not enter the house where I live, nor go to the bed where I rest. I will give no sleep to my eyes, to my eyelids I will give no slumber, till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Strong One of Jacob. At Ephrata we heard of the ark, we found it in the plains of Urim. Let us go to the place of his dwelling, let us go to kneel at his footstool. Go up, Lord, to the place of your rest, you and the ark of your strength. Your priests shall be clothed with holiness, your faithful shall ring out their joy. For the sake of David, your servant, do not reject your anointed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. With an honest heart I have offered up all things joyfully, O my God. The Lord swore an oath to David, and he will not go back on his word. He made his kingdom firm for ever. Psalm 131 continued. The Lord swore an oath to David, he will not go back on his word. A son, the fruit of your body, will I set upon your throne. If they keep my covenant in truth,
and my laws that I have taught them, their sons also shall rule on your throne from age to age. For the Lord has chosen Sion, he has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever, here have I chosen to live. I will greatly bless her produce, I will fill her poor with bread. I will clothe their priests with salvation, and her faithful shall ring out their joy. There David's stock will flower, I will prepare a lamp for my anointed, I will cover his enemies with shame, but on him my crown shall shine. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord swore an oath to David, and he will not go back on his word. He made his kingdom firm forever. The man who lives by truth comes into the light, so that his good works may be seen. A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The people of Israel journeyed from the Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very many cattle, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any provisions. The time that the people of Israel dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and at the end of the 430 years, on that very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was a night of watching by the Lord to bring them out of the land of Egypt, so that this same night is the night of watching kept to the Lord by all the peoples of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it, after you have circumcised him. No sojourner or hired servant may eat of it. In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break a bone of it. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it, and when a stranger shall sojourn with you, and would keep Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, so that he may come near and keep it. He shall be as a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who sojourns among you. And when the Lord brings you out into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstlings of your cattle that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstling of an ass you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of a man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By the strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage.' For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of cattle. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It shall be as a mark on your hand, or frontlets between your eyes, for by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." Responsory, based on Luke 2. The parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it stands written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord. They offered to the Lord on his behalf a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. As it stands written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord. a reading from the Constitution of the Second Vatican Council on the Church in the Modern World. Number 9. The modern world shows itself at one and the same time both powerful and weak, capable of the noblest deeds or of the foulest. Before it lies the path to freedom or to slavery, to progress or decline, to brotherhood or hatred. Moreover, man is becoming aware that the forces which he has unleashed are in his own hands, and that he himself must either control them or be enslaved by them. That is why he is putting questions to himself. The dichotomy affecting the modern world is, in fact, a symptom of the deeper dichotomy that is in man himself. He is the meeting point of many conflicting forces. In his condition as a created being, he is limited by 1,000 shortcomings, yet he feels unlimited in his yearnings and destined for a higher life. Torn by a welter of attractions, he is compelled to choose between them and to reject some of them. Worse still, feeble and sinful as he is, he often does the very thing he hates and does not do what he wants. And so he feels himself divided, and the result is a host of discords in social life. Many, it is true, fail to see the dramatic nature of this state of affairs in all its clarity, for their vision is blurred on the practical level by materialism, or they are prevented from even thinking about it by the wretchedness of their plight. Others delude themselves that they have found peace in a world view now fashionable. There are still others whose hopes are set on a genuine and total emancipation of mankind through human effort alone, and look forward to some future paradise where all the desires of their hearts will be satisfied. Nor is it unusual to find people who, having lost faith in life, extol the kind of foolhardiness which would empty life of all significance in itself and invest it with a meaning of their own devising. Nonetheless, in the face of modern developments, there is a growing body of men who are asking the most fundamental of all questions, or are glimpsing them with keener insight. What is man? What is the meaning of suffering, evil, death, which have not been eliminated by all this progress? Are these achievements worth the price that has to be paid? What can man contribute to society? What can he expect from it? What happens after this earthly life is ended? The Church believes that Christ, who died and was raised for the sake of all, can show man the way and strengthen him through the Spirit in order to be worthy of his destiny. Nor is there any other name under heaven given to man by which they must be saved. The Church likewise believes that the key, the centre, and the purpose of the whole of man's history is to be found in its Lord and Master. She also maintains, in all these upheavals, there is a great deal that is unchanging, a great deal that has its ultimate foundation in Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. A responsory from 1 Corinthians. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, so let us thank God for giving us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is good to those who trust him, to the soul that searches for him. So let us thank God for giving us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Turn our hearts to yourself, Eternal Father, so that always seeking the one thing necessary, and devoting ourselves to works of charity, we may worship you in spirit and in truth.
We make our prayer for our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless us and keep us, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.